Laszlo Pandy from Jacosha, Bruno Board from The Community.
Bruno!
Carl Latimer from Liverpool. Prison.
Where he was convicted of stealing hubcaps.
From Wyandotte. What kind of bastard steals hubcaps?
Season 4, episode 18
of
The A. Bradshaw Show. My guests this week are Jonah Bacon, Stuart Langridge and Chris Proctor.
Chris Proctor!
Yes. Hey. Standing in for the tiny Matthew Ravel.
He's known as the proctologist or the Lord of the Rings.
Or should that be Councillor Matthew Ravel?
Lord of the Brown Rings?
Probably not.
Well,
he said it to me. He said he wasn't expecting to win.
You're supposed, he was actually looking for you to provide support at that point because you're supposed to be his friend.
He shouldn't know you better, shouldn't he?
Is it at that point when he says, yeah, I'm not really expecting to win, and you go, yeah, probably not. Oh, okay.
So what have we got on the show this week? We've got three interviews.
We have.
We'll be talking to
we're talking to Random Coleslaw
from the Canonical. He's actually worked for Canonical.
No,
we're talking to
guy.
One of the largest of the ninjas, I believe.
he may be larger than all the other ninjas combined.
He may have vet them.
Harsh.
I'm only joking.
He is a hero in
he's
a half.
Kick my ass now.
He is. Yes, he is, and he's someone to be genuinely scared of. And we're talking to Jeremy Zimmerman.
Honest bike.
Who's from April? The French Free Software Organisation.
Wicked.
Yep. So, what else are we going to?
We're going to talk about Feisty.
We are going to talk about Feisty. Everyone listening is going to get whatever, man. Fucking Ubuntu again.
Somewhat predictable, but you know.
Yeah, you know. And touch on Debian at the same time.
Of course, yeah.
And of course.
And we ought to promise on the show that Aid has made us all promise that we devote just as much time to Fedora Core 7 when it comes out.
Indeed. And it was a promise made in front of third party witnesses.
And now it's been made in front of all the listeners.
15 million listeners.
We're also going to talk about.
15 listeners.
I think 15 million might be pushing it, to be quite honest with you.
The other segment we've got is. Because this is the year of the desktop, we're going to be talking about how we'd actually, what we change on this fantastic desktop that we've got.
Indeed.
Yep. So should we get on with it?
And of course, let's not forget the emails. And we're going to read out the list of speakers at Lug Radio Live 2007.
We're going to read emails. We're going to laugh at people's surnames. All the usual shit. Should we get on with it?
Let's do it.
If you want to get your emails in the show, send them to show@lugradio.org, and we will try and have a voicemail number up for next week.
Okay, we're talking to Jeremy Zimmerman from April in France.
Bonsoir.
Did I pronounce your name right, Jeremy?
Hello.
Do you want to tell us a bit about April and what you do?
Okay, I'm an administrator at April, which is a French association for promoting and defending libre software, free speech software. And most of the time nowadays, we're into informing our elected representatives about what they might be about to vote, about what they are voting, about what they voted, and try to help them into building not as stupid law as they might do without us.
Okay, isn't there some kind of complicated law about making free software illegal in France?
It's
very complicated. actually, it was a transposition of the EUCD directive, which is our European DMCA, Digital Millennium Copyright Act, which is by itself a transposition of a YPO treaty. So here we go, we had to transpose this directive into our law. And actually, many interests from diverse corporates added very nefarious things into the law.
Okay.
So they weren't much further than what the European directive wanted them to do. And they went as far as to forbid the publication, the copying, or the possession of any software meant for putting some works online.
No.
Some copyrighted works online.
What? Really? So anything that could be used to put copyrighted works online...
Exactly, like Apache or any peer-to-peer client or server or whatever.
They made Apache illegal.
Not exactly. In the first version of the amendments that were proposed, they were ready to do so. And we had to fight a lot and to prove the value for arguments, and then we had the chance to lessen, to weaken a little those amendments. But what is funny is that we were present in the process in the commission where those amendments were written, and it was supposed to be a commission working for the ministry, for the government, and actually they were completely written by the lobbyists from Vivendi Universal. So in this process, we realized how much the lobbying from very big corporates was efficient and was delivering some packaged amendments, packaged pieces of laws that could directly interfere with the development of free software, of legal software in France.
Okay, so what are you trying to do about the presidential elections?
We launched a campaign called candidat.fr, candidats.fr, where we wrote a very specific questionnaire. Is that an English word?
Yeah.
Lots of questions, 34 questions actually, very precise, all of them coming with very detailed documentations and many links to different texts and resources and everything. 34 questions concerning us directly as free software user developers and defenders, and talking about software patents, talking about DRM, talking about the use of free software and open standards in the administration, talking about the next YPO treaties or the next European directives, and so on and so on. We send this questionnaire to all the candidates, and we had to put some pressure on them to get the answers, of course. But we had the answers from nearly every candidate. Actually, every candidate that came up in the 6 or 7 first positions out of 12.
Cool.
Replied, including the four major ones, as we may say. So on this point of view, it's already quite successful, because the fact that they all made their teams work on those issues and write specific answers about those topics in such a crucial time for France is already something very good.
Mm. Yeah, excellent. Okay, so if you're French and want to get involved with April, who should you talk to? Where should you go?
You should, of course, go to april.org, A-P-R-I-L.org, and get in touch with us and getting member of the association to help us be stronger and stronger. But I think there's one question you didn't ask about.
Ooh. Is the question who should you vote for?
Not as explicit as this, but maybe you wanted to know on the two runners for the second turn of the election.
Oh yeah,
who are Nicolas Sarkozy and Ségolène Royal? Maybe you'd be interested in knowing what was their answers to our questions.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So actually, the best of all answers we got came from François Bayrou, the third man that that impressed everybody by a quite high score, actually. Mm-hmm. But he isn't in the runners for the final round. So the runners are Nicolas Sarkozy and Ségolène Royal. Ségolène Royal made her team work quite hard and produce, I think, 17 pages of answers.
Okay.
Quite detailed.
17 pages to 34 questions.
But it was a bit vague. No very strong promises were made. But it clearly showed that her team worked on it, knew the questions, knew the correct answers. What was really, really frightening, is that Nicolas Sarkozy gave his reply something like 40 hours before the vote. We had put a deadline a few weeks before that, but 40 hours before the vote, thanks to many, many pressure we put on him, we had reply. And the reply were 4 pages that didn't reply exactly to the questions we asked and went into very, very generic statements such as, we must protect private property, and so shall we protect intellectual property, and patents are good for innovation, so we must encourage patents. and very broad statements that remind us very, very, very much of what all those nasty industrials, whether are they software editors or content company, are saying. So we're right. kind of afraid now that if that Nicolas Sarkozy is elected, he might be very inclined to agree with corporation point of view about free software.
Right, so of the two candidates, you'd recommend not voting for Nicolas Sarkozy?
Exactly. Thank you. Thank you for helping me with this.
Does it look like he's going to win?
You know, you can't make some pronostics because, but what the media want to make us believe right now, he has strong chances to win, and some basic electoral arithmetics led us to the same results. But in France, we have a tradition of having surprises in our elections, so everything is possible.
Okay, so so people should get out there and not vote for him. Is there anything else that they can do to get involved to help out and influence this?
Yeah, I think it's important if they want to preserve a safe environment for free software in France.
Right, okay, excellent. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
Lovely to talk to you. Cheers, Jeremy. We'll talk to you later.
Take care.
Yeah, sure, talk to you later.
Bye.
Okay, so something called Feisty Fawn has just been released.
What's that then?
I don't know. Do I care?
Probably
do
not.
I look like I care?
You're a sysadmin. You don't care about anything.
I don't care.
As a representative of Canonical, tell me why I should upgrade my
sell
laptop.
Sell it to me.
Which is running edgy, and it's running quite well. Thank you very much.
Don't know.
And more to the point, network manager's working. Why should I upgrade?
This is a loaded question, isn't it?
No, actually, in all seriousness, what's new in Feisty?
Yes.
There's a bunch of new things. It's not a huge, massively different release.
Because it was sold to us as it was going to be.
Yeah.
Because originally Edgy was going to be the one with all the new stuff.
Yeah, it was going to be Edgy.
Then it was going to be Edgy plus one was going to be the stuff with all the new stuff.
Yeah.
So what did it get?
Neither happened.
Right.
Edgy was nowhere as,
Which one got the new upstart stuff? Was that?
That was Edgy.
That was Edgy, right.
Yeah, okay. I mean, Edgy was supposed to be like really edgy and it wasn't really as edgy. And this isn't, I don't think Feisty is all that feisty. It's just another.
So I know one thing it's got the little easy little tick where you can have the desktop.
Yes.
What else?
And that actually works. I mean,
it does. I've seen it working.
Yeah. I mean, the usual kind of, obviously, all the everything in it's been upgraded, but it's got desktop effects in it. It's got something called Easy Codec Installation. So for all of you freedom,
is that in there?
For you freedom haters, yeah, if you click on, let's say, an MP3 or something like that, it'll tell you which package you need to install to have that kind of support on your system.
Oh, really?
It's got.
You breeze over that like it makes sense, right? And I've tried that. I upgraded my laptop to Feisty. I ran something in Toto.
No, you upgraded a different laptop to Feisty, didn't you?
No, I upgraded my laptop to Feisty. Okay. Right? And the Easy Codec installation, I ran a thing in Toto. It popped up a thing, and it didn't say...
Why were you running the Easy Codec?
Yeah, why were you running
Because I can't turn it off, as far as I'm aware. If you try and run something in Totem...
So why didn't you just press cancel?
Because I wanted to see what it looked like. The point is, I was expecting it to say, do you want to install this? And then you say yes, and it doesn't. It says, you're trying to play something that you don't have the packages for. Do you want to install this? And then it says, you can install GStream at 0.10-FFmpeg.
No, I agree.
That's shit.
And my dad's not going to look at that and go, well, I need to... And it offers you a choice of four things, all of which are fucking meaningless. I mean, I know what they are, because Jacosha programmer. But most people, it doesn't say, do you want to install MP3 support?
And then just say, yes,
go ahead. It says, which one of these meaninglessly named GStreamer packages do you want to install? You go, well... I don't fucking know. What do all these mean?
No, Axe right in this. I mean, it is.
Why I wanted to try, because I didn't want to slag it off without having seen it.
Because you'd never do that.
I tried to comment on this show.
Well,
never.
In this case, he hasn't, so let's move on.
Yeah, I mean, Axe right in the fact that it makes the process of installing those packages easier. The actual
easier at all, what he's saying.
Well, the actual installation process, but it doesn't make selecting the packages
easier.
Bear
with me. Right. It's easier in the sense that before, someone would say, you have to install some GStreamer package, but I'm not going to tell you which one it is.
Yeah.
Now it says, you have to install... one of these four meaninglessly named GStreamer packages. I'm not going to tell you which one it is, so you just install them all.
Does it give you like a tick box to choose?
Yeah.
Right, okay.
And it obviously responds to the fact that you've tried to play a file that your system doesn't support.
Sure.
So it kind of solves most of the problem, but it just needs that bit
of most of the way there.
If the thing pops up and says, do you want to install this? If you just say, yeah, tick those boxes, install that, go ahead. The thing you've just put in will play.
Oh, okay, that's good. Yeah.
So it's better than it was.
So we've got desktop effects.
It ought to say, do you want to play...
this format, and then you say yes, and then it doesn't. It never mentions the word GStreamer at any point.
Right. Yeah. And it's got the proprietary drivers in there as well?
Well, it's got a restricted drivers thing, right?
Okay, yeah.
Which basically analyzes your system to see if you need restricted drivers. And if you don't need them, then obviously it doesn't install them.
But does the one that runs an Axe computer say you don't need them?
On my computer, when you run the restricted drivers manager, it says you need to install Linux-restricted modules to run this program, which I have uninstalled.
Is yes, no, and my name is Stuart Langridge.
Well, I'm surprised because I installed Feisty. I upgraded my machine to Feisty, and then I've got so much crap on my laptop because it's been upgraded one after the other, and I've never... It needed a spring clean, so basically, even though it worked anyway in the upgrade...
So you're telling me that you did an upgrade, and it worked perfectly, still did a fresh install for the heck of it.
No, it worked... I'm serious, it worked. The upgrade was flawless. It was absolutely flawless, but my system's got so much crap on there that I just wanted a fresh install anyway. So I installed it from
taught
scratch.
Taught by many years of Windows thing like that, yeah. I suspect.
I installed it from scratch, and... And one thing that was different from the upgrade was that in the upgrade, because I've poked around my X so much and I've fucked around with it, and it's basically my X was buggered because I'd screwed a load of stuff up with it.
Right.
So when I did the fresh install, I was expecting that I was going to need the restricted driver because it's got an ATI card in it.
Yeah.
Didn't need it. The desktop effects and everything works perfectly fine with a free driver. I was really
and that's
really
on an IBM ThinkPad,
and that's
it?
On a T42.
Yeah. But the upgrade didn't notice that.
Yeah, but the reason for that, which it doesn't surprise me, is that I poked around with X so much.
We've got the desktop effects, we've got the restricted drivers, there's we've got
loads
the easy code.
There's loads of bits and pieces. I can't remember off the top of my head. Okay. It's kind of like there's no major single bits and pieces.
And do you promise if I upgrade my laptop, it'll be all right?
I'm not promising nothing.
Right. I'm really nervous. I don't want to do it.
I'll tell you one other thing. One other thing is my Myth TV box runs Breezy.
Yeah. Oh yeah, you upgraded your Myth box.
And I'm in the process of upgrading my Myth box. I haven't had much time. But one thing that was good.
Have you started?
Yeah. But one thing that was good was with Myth.
So you're still halfway through?
Yeah. If you stop interrupting me, I'll tell you why.
Is your name Matthew?
No. When I installed Myth on Breezy, right, I needed to install all the packages. I needed to tweak everything. I need to tweak it so it started Myth when my box run and all the rest of it. You know, it's a real pain in the ass. But in Feisty, I installed Feisty on the machine. Again, blew everything away because it was running Breezy, and I installed it from scratch. And then installed the Myth TV packages. And not only did it put like little options in the menu for configuring Myth TV, but it also set it so whenever I reboot the system, it automatically boots into Myth TV and it does everything for you.
Okay, that's cool.
What happened to
all your old movies then? All the ones that you'd got transcoded and stuff?
Pretty much all the stuff on there I wasn't that fussed about, so I just blitzed it. So
shit.
Yeah.
Okay. Must have been a way to save them, I guess, but...
Yeah, so... But yeah, it's not bad. I mean, it's... So far it seemed like...
The big difference between Edgy and Feisty is, of course, they've dropped PowerPC support.
Yep.
As a PowerPC user, it's still community done or something.
Yeah, it's community driven, yeah.
So, kind of, how is that going?
That only really affects Mac users, doesn't it?
To be honest with you, I don't know.
Real people, yeah.
I haven't really looked into the PPC stuff, but as far as I'm aware, it's basically there's a kernel team who are looking after the PPC port, and then obviously people looking after the packages.
So it is still a sort of under active development.
Yeah, I mean, I was reading something the other
day. Not quite so active as it was.
I was expecting it to have been dropped completely. So
I was reading something the other day about someone who was running Feisty on PPC, and it's as if it's like a normal release. I don't know anything about it, to be honest.
It is interesting that we've all at least vaguely looked at Ubuntu, and those of us who are running it are like, must upgrade to Feisty now that it's out. Whereas we've got a server, and the server that runs like radio.org is running Debian Sarge. And Etch came out. At no point have I thought I must upgrade because it just works.
Did your jaw drop when Etch came out, by the way?
I was quite surprised.
It only felt like earlier this year that 3.1 came out.
No. Sarge was ages ago. It's taken them a long time to put together this.
I suppose you never generally want to upgrade servers, though, do you?
No. I mean,
whereas desktops, you want all the cool new stuff that's coming out.
Whereas, on servers, I want Apache to not fall over. Yeah. And at the moment, it doesn't fall over, so I'm not going to ponce around with it. I mean, Debian have got... We got an email saying, why haven't you talked about Debian's new project leader? And the answer is, because we don't know what to say about it. Debian's got a new DPL. Excellent.
Woo. He's the VLC guy, isn't he?
He is the VLC guy. Sam Hokavar, don't know how you pronounce his name. Mm. But, you know...
Romo Sapien.
Right in and...
Does that mean VLC is only going to come out once every 3 years now?
And it won't play any media formats.
VLC's actually quite good.
VLC's very good.
Not wishing to segue into something completely
quite good. It is good. What do you mean actually good? It's good.
It plays everything. I don't like its user interface.
Oh, yeah. Okay,
I find its UI to be extremely annoying all the time. In every way it could possibly...
It's got a play button.
In every way they've got a choice in between be annoying and not be annoying, they've picked be annoying. I don't know what.
But consistent design, at least. You know.
But for you, all it really needs is play my porn button, really.
No, no.
Play my porn / Top Gear.
Thank you. Play my Top Gear button. Yes, I'll concede that.
But you know, because we're an anti-waffle show now, moving us back on track. Talking about Feisty.
Do we hate that waffle? We're an anti-waffle show, are we?
Very funny.
Another volunteer from the Mug Radio crew, John. Thank you very much.
He loves it.
Yeah, I found from people talking about the Feisty release that it seems to have been a lot more stable and secure than
I have found exactly the opposite.
Than edgy. I mean, obviously it's fucked up for some people, but you get that with every distro release.
Yeah, but just dismiss that. But it's fine.
Yeah, whatever. I mean, it's only some people in there who fucking cares.
What do you want me to say?
I want you to say next time we'll do it better.
Next time network manager isn't ready, we won't fucking release it.
Okay. Look forward to you joining the Ubuntu community and helping out, incidentally.
I look forward to you justifying your pay that you draw to make this work.
Am I on the fucking distro team? No. I look after the community. I'm not just here to get a beating whenever something wrong with Ubuntu.
Yes, you are.
Now is not the time to wrap a segment up.
Who's on the phone, Jono?
Okay, on the phone right now we've got Random Coleslaw from the Ubuntu project.
Some Random Coleslaw.
How are you doing, Random?
All right, man. How's it going?
Not so bad.
We ought to dignify him with his proper name.
Yeah, this is Brandon Holtzclaw. So you do packaging and stuff for the Motu team on Ubuntu. Tell us what that involves.
Well, lately it's a lot of mentoring going on. We've got tons and tons with the Feisty cycle of new blood coming in, man. So a lot of the old guys, a lot of us have been around for a little while, man, like Crimson and everybody else. We've been trying to help get the new blood going in the right direction.
Wicked. And how is packaging for Ubuntu any different to packaging for Debian? I mean, obviously it's based on Debian, but is it much different?
It's different in that we're probably more speedy in getting some of the updates in, only because
more than once every couple of years.
Some of the packages, you know, will sit there for 6 months and nobody will touch them, but, you know, that's...
No one touches my package for 6 months.
Part of the group effort.
Speaking as a guy who does a lot of packaging, not uh-huh. fuck all, Jono, speaking as a guy who does a lot of packaging... you've still got this problem where every distro uses different packages and so on. Like, is this shit ever going to be fixed, or are we just stuck with it till the end of time?
I sincerely hope so, but you know, the way I see it being fixed is
everybody uses
depackage
and apt. Yeah, so everyone else is welcome to relinquish their heretic things that they do and move to the true world of Debian.
the real tools. No, honestly, if you look at, like, Genu Solaris, since it went GPL, and, some of the other distros, Fedora is even picking up Caesar.
What?
And they're picking up, like, app for RPM. And organizing their... you can't just stick app in and expect it to magically work.
Right.
Like, Fedora, the RPM versioning and stuff has to be in line. And that's, I mean, some of the things I'm helping with the Genu Solaris guys. I mean, they literally... You know how we take a snapshot from Debian?
Yeah.
We as in Ubuntu. Take a snapshot from Debian every 6 months or so. Well, Genu Solaris literally takes a snapshot from us and dumps the Solaris kernel in.
Cool. And, I mean, it's always... I've never done any packaging before, and I remember when I was a Debian user, I was thinking it seems like something that's quite cool to get involved with. But how much... I've always thought that packaging is kind of... You need to be a programmer as well. You need to be able to apply patches and see when patches don't work and things like that.
You do and you don't. You have to know how to read different programming languages. You don't really have to necessarily be a uber programmer that can create a new kernel from scratch.
Right.
But you have to have enough knowledge of it to where you can apply a patch, test if that patch works, make sure it compiles well.
Right.
And like that.
So is it a case of like... So, I mean, you yourself, I mean, are you like a C programmer or something?
No, actually, man, I use a lot of Python.
Right.
Hey. Sorry, tons of Python, but that's only because, really, because of Ubuntu. Yeah, I mean, they're pushing everything Python.
Yeah. So I mean, so if somebody knew how to compile stuff, and you know, somebody could apply patches and things like that, would that be enough for someone to get involved with packaging, or do they literally need to look through code and see where there's errors in the code and stuff like that?
No, usually, like say, okay, I handle ArmRock a lot. I mean, that's one of my favorite packages. Normally what I'll do is I'll go through, say we've got 1.44 out, and we've got a vanilla 1.44 they provide with a pristine tarball.
Yeah.
Well, I'll go in halfway through the development cycle, or three-quarters of the way through the development cycle, look through the bugs, look through their BTS, 99.9% of the time they've got an SVN commit. All I got to know how to do is cherry-pick that one SVN commit, put it into a patch, upload it as a package. So we've got 1.44 plus. It's not really the pristine 1.44 that's coming from ArmRock, but, I'm cherry-picking SVN commits.
All right, so from the sound of that, you make it all sound very easy. Does that mean that you'd like to see lots of new people come on board, do lots more packaging?
Sounds like they're getting
it. Oh, yes, definitely. I mean, we're always, always, always looking for new blood. I mean, that's one reason this cycle, I think Jono actually had a good hand in this, is starting the Motu Mentors. And there's probably, I don't know, 8 or 10 of us so far that are
basically
teaching the new blood what they need to do, the Debian way.
Yeah. Yeah, no, excellent. Is there a URL that people should be pointed at?
wiki.ubuntu.com/motu.
M-O-T-U.
Uh-huh.
That's what we like.
Excellent. Right, thank you very much for talking to us.
All right.
It's been cool. Can we get you on again in the future?
Yeah, definitely.
Cool. Excellent. So, but anyway, thank you very much, Brandon.
See you later, Random.
Catch you later.
Thank you, all Random Goldslaw.
See you
later.
So, guys, if there's one thing you could fix about desktop Linux, what would it be?
Hey, I heard it's the year of desktop Linux this year.
It is. I mean,
a strange feeling of deja vu.
You see, I thought that was 2001, actually. But
it's never going to happen, is it?
Ever, it's 1999,
ever going to happen.
So, Aid, what would you fix?
Let's go with what you're going to fix. I think what you want to fix is the most important one.
Why me?
Because you're the one who wants to fix that particular area. It works for me, so.
Wireless.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, I'd like wireless cards to just work.
Fucking wireless.
And I remember having a chat with Scott James Remnant in a pub in Birmingham, and he told me all the reasons why Network Manager didn't work at the time, which was around the sort of Dapper time, I think it was.
Okay.
And the reason why it wasn't switched on by default, and apparently it's due to the like lower level bits of the stack.
Okay. Yeah.
Because all wireless cards are treated differently about the kernel. As far as I'm aware, I can't remember him exactly, so I might be getting this wrong, but
there's something about each individual network driver needs to support something that Network Manager hooks into. I was amazed. I installed Feisty on a Dell laptop the other day. I had two Broadcom cards in it, wired and the wireless. Neither of them worked. I plugged in
fucking
my
Broadcom.
Plugged in my fuck Broadcom.
Fuck Broadcom.
Fuck Broadcom.
Fuck.com / never get involved.
I plugged my ancient PCMCIA wired network card in, and Network Manager worked for the first time ever. I've actually seen Network Manager be useful.
It works really well on my laptop.
Works really well on mine.
I'm sure it works
but
really
it
well.
Works really, it doesn't work on my other one, so it's dependent on cards and shit.
So you'd fix wireless. What would you fix? Yes.
So. Just very briefly, when you say you want it fixed, presumably that means that all the network drivers get patched to support whatever it is Network Manager needs.
Well, I mean, I don't know how the kernel
you
deals
have to change with drivers.
I don't know
to
how the kernel
manager works. Should you?
I don't know how the kernel works with network cards, but I'd have thought they could have used some kind of consistent interface that Network Manager can hook into. I don't know, some kind of abstraction framework.
Well, yeah, I mean,
like HAL, but for
the thing that I thought was interesting about is if you look at Greg Crower Hartman, he was saying, if you get your drivers,
don't laugh at his name.
If you get your drivers into the kernel tree, then you don't have to worry about keeping them up to date with new kernel changes because the kernel developers will go through and patch your drivers for every new change. But obviously, there's this thing, whatever it is that network drivers need to do in order for Network Manager to work, and that doesn't seem to have happened with a lot of the drivers, not just things like Broadcom ones that are fucked anyway.
We should get someone on the show.
We should get someone.
Yes. In fact, we should get Greg Crowe-Hartman on the show.
But if you're the sort of person who deals with network drivers in the kernel, send us an email and tell us about it, and we'll get you on the show to talk about it.
Yep. Keep sending them in. Okay.
Sending them in. Chris P., what would you fix about desktop Linux?
I've been thinking about this, and to be honest, I don't think there's anything that really needs fixing.
It runs a terminal, doesn't it?
So it runs two terminals and Emacs. I mean, is there really anything else?
Emacs!
Or VI, if you prefer. I'm quite happy with VI.
Fuck both Emacs and VI. 800 megabytes.
Cross-editor, I can do two editors, you know.
Chris, you're a server guy, aren't you?
I have been known to work on servers,
there
yes.
There you go. You're not really too bothered about a desktop, are you?
Well, I run Linux on my desktop.
Optional you know, extra.
But it kind of does SSH into the servers.
So are you saying that...
Exporting. It's great.
Are you saying that the desktop doesn't need fixing at all, or it's all just so broken that you just shouldn't really bother, or it just does everything that you already need?
It does everything that I need.
Right. It opens a shell. Right.
It opens a shell. It runs an editor of some sort.
That is all a server guy needs, isn't it? To be honest.
It runs Firefox in my email.
Have you thought about that rat poison editor, which doesn't do anything other than tile windows?
I used to
use rat... Not editor. I'm window manager.
I have been known to use rat poison.
You write
in
Python, don't you?
Yes.
On the last show, we had Chris Jones, who was who's one of sysadmins at Canonical, and he wrote a little program called Terminator, which basically is a window with four terminals in it. And he's written it in Python, and maybe the two of you could get together and have sweet Python love.
There used to be a window manager that was you could script in Scheme, and I spent quite a lot of time scripting it, so it would just have two terminals and an editor, and that's all it did.
Do you meet many girls, Chris?
Not none of us meet many girls, John. Anyway,
to be honest with you.
He's sitting here on an evening doing a podcast about Linux. You know,
fuck off.
Do you not?
Should we this happened at the pub? You know,
do you not find it drove the women wild? Anyway, what I'd fix is I'd get rid of file pickers.
God, here we go.
So what you're going to do is sit there and wish for Broadcom to open their drivers.
You get rid of file pickers.
At least
A much more reasonable chance is for that to happen.
Yeah,
how would you navigate files?
Because we can actually do that.
What? How would you navigate files?
CD.
No, they're not file pickers. File pickers are the open and save windows.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah.
Right,
you get rid of them, so what you get is you get a little icon. If you want to save it, you drag it to a Nautilus window and drop it. If you want to load a file, you drag it in from there. Fuck a bunch of navigating through the file system in a tiny little window. Okay. You've got all of Nautilus to help you navigate the file system, and you ignore it and use a little window.
It's a load of usability bullshit
theory.
Sounds
like wishy-washy bullshit.
It is.
Have you actually used the system that did it?
No.
No, I have. Riskos did it, and it was fucking brilliant.
Sounds risky.
Okay. So what are you going to do about fixing your wireless problems, John?
I'm not going to do
anything. You're going to do fuck all and just wish for it.
You're going to fix this, are you?
Yeah, that's why I talk to the Symphonios people. It's why I work with Roxos.
Oh, you talk to them?
To fix precisely these things.
Okay.
Ported Orchestra to Python, at least partially.
What's Orchestra?
You don't care. You're not interested in usability bullshit. Next person.
Yeah.
I think I fucking triggered a nerve there.
Okay, so... Well, we've got to decide which desktop we're talking about, first of all. So, if we're talking about desktops for ordinary users, that's one thing. If we're talking about corporate desktops, that's a different thing.
Okay.
Okay, so desktops for ordinary users, what needs fixing, I'd say it's almost getting there anyway, and it's to do with multimedia playback.
Right.
So, it needs to just work out of the box. Or be as close as damn it to it. Because that's what matters to most non-corporate desktop users. Most ordinary desktop
this
users.
Sort of thing, you're not particularly worried about licensing issues of codecs and stuff
about
like that.
Things like
you,
that.
You just want it to work and that's it. Okay.
That would be nice, but...
Yep, okay.
Yeah. For the corporate desktop, I don't think you need to fix anything. I think we're there.
Really?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, you keep banging on about all this being able to configure loads of servers from one central loads of desktops from one
that's
central location.
That's not a desktop thing, that's a server thing.
Things like group policy or whatever, which doesn't seem to exist.
Again, a server thing.
But you have to be able to hook it into the desktop.
Yeah, but you'd use that to manage lots of desktops, sure, but it's not a desktop technology.
Right,
I suppose it's a technology.
Well, I suppose you have to have a desktop.
The desktop needs to kind of work with it. If I say, here's a server which can manage
desktops.
But
that's not fixing the desktop, is it? No,
servers.
It's fixing managing them.
Right,
yeah,
okay.
That's what I'd do anyway.
So the question is, can we see these things actually happening?
Never in a month of Sundays. It's never going to happen.
Right, because mine's already there.
I think the wireless thing will happen at some point for most cards.
It will.
I think there'll always be exceptions, like Broadcom.
And it's always going to trail behind. I mean, network manager will get better.
That's the problem. I think if you look at the cards now, every card that exists now will work 2 years from now, but there'll be 2 years worth of new card development that doesn't work.
Yeah. Unfortunate, but true.
It is unfortunate, but true.
For this, it's kind of like, for me, it's not so much new card development, it's like just existing cards working with a network manager, which...
From what
I've heard, they all work different on the kernel, so I don't know.
One of the reasons I like the idea of my thing is, remember that someone did Topaz mock-ups for GNOME?
Mm.
And one of the things they had in it was icon top left-hand corner of each window that was a draggable drop-it-here to save things. No file pickers. Right. I'm very pleased with.
And what did you say, P?
I said mine works. I mean,
he said nothing.
I've used Linux
on the desktop for the last 7-8 years.
And you've been able to run your, you know, your 1985 text editor, and that's fine.
But it's a fair point. I mean, it's got terminal access, it's got email, and it's got web. What more do you really need?
What do you really need? I mean, especially for a corporate desktop, to be honest. Mm. Like, you know,
yes,
people can.
That's it. I'm going
send
to
send their emails, and they can you know,
they can get
some
fucking
web
work
browser,
done.
So you can do pretty much anything you like on a web browser. It does it all, you know.
Absolutely. I'm going to work tomorrow, and when everyone says, "Where the hell's my copy of Microsoft Word?" I'll say, "You've got GNU Emacs now." That's just as good.
Didn't you use GNU Emacs as a some kind of logging shell?
Yeah, you can, if you try hard enough, use Emacs as a logging shell, and I did. Yeah. And it's fantastic.
So you log in, you just get Emacs. You exit Emacs, it logs you out.
No one should try that hard.
Essentially. But it's the same as X Windows. You log in, but because Emacs is such a fantastic editor, you get a shell within Emacs.
Right. Don't worry, guys, I'll censor that bit out.
We're never inviting him back, are we?
No. You should never deal with VI, but
you,
with Emacs,
you need to die.
You need to fuck off right now.
Welcome to the Lugrady Studios.
It's just been one of those nights. You know, all I've been getting is abuse all evening.
Did you expect anything else?
No, you bring really. It on all yourself. You bring it all on yourself. If you stop using Emacs, the abuse stops. Mac owning Emacs user. Oh,
sorry, what are we recording on again?
We're recording in Jakosha.
Beard, are we?
We're recording in VI, aren't we?
Yes, that's right. Look, radio people, we have got Neuro on the show.
Oh, hello!
Turn that shit off, Neuro.
So, yes, Mr. William Anderson, who's a long-time Lug Radio listener and community member.
Mr. Anderson.
Yeah. How are you doing, Neuro?
Not too bad, sir. Not too bad.
Well, we wanted to get you on the show because you've proved to provide...
I've got a question.
Tireless... Hang on. you've provided tireless service to the Lug Radio community, and you're a ninja.
I am one of the ninjas, yes, that's very true.
And what does your ninjering involve?
What does my ninjering involve? Basically, we do everything you guys can't be arsed doing.
Oh, you do that, do you? Right, okay. Well done.
Basically, what we do is we provide a lot of the infrastructure behind the lugradio.org services, so we do all the hosting and maintenance for things like the wiki, some of the mirrors. We do the back end mirroring for a couple of mirrors. We're now doing the torrent site as well, because Oman has changed jobs. Oman did a great job doing the torrents for like so long.
Yeah,
but unfortunately he's changed jobs, he can't do it anymore.
So he's got a real job now.
He's gone from Burger King to
taking on that mantle. We run the clan game server, we run the quote site when it works.
Not at the moment.
Generally,
then.
We just do all, like I say, all the stuff you guys haven't done. So
yeah, it's wicked.
It's something that is very useful for everyone in the community. We're just, you know, we have a great time doing it, and it's just a way of providing our expertise to the rest of the community by giving us, you know, we get a chance to prove, look, we can do all this stuff. We're going to do it for you, and you don't have to do anything.
And top job they do. They do.
Fantastic. Now you mentioned community there. What's one of them? No, I'm just kidding. So how do you divvy up the tasks? How do you decide who does what? Is it just literally what interests the individuals, or?
Pretty much, yeah, much. There's no sort of formal arrangement. It's not like we all sit down and at the end of the week and say, you know, put on our ninja hats and...
Doesn't everybody want to do the game server, though?
Sorry?
Doesn't everybody want to do the game server, though?
No, the game server's a total arse.
Right, okay.
Gaming, this is something I've dealt with in the past. I used to work for an ISP, and one of the customers was a small games company. I won't mention any names. It was like they ran hosting.
Right.
They hosted game servers, and they were always complaining. And it was like, oh, the ping speeds, they're too long. And it was like, yeah, because, you know, we kind of change the laws of physics.
It's,
you know, so you send a packet from Edinburgh down to London and then back again. Sorry. 35 milliseconds, we can't make it any faster unless, you know, you can shrink the country somehow.
Or speed up light, presumably.
Well, you know, we could try changing the properties of light in some fashion, but I'm not that good at sysadmin, I'm afraid.
Disappointing.
But, I mean, the clan server's just, it ticks over, basically. We found a set of maps that people like, But we're thinking about doing some changes. Mr. Ben, who seems to love gaming more than the rest of us, he got us all into what was that game? It wasn't Drops. Enemy Territory. It was that other open source
Death
thing, Tremulous.
Tremulous.
He got us into that last year. We played that for a while. We're looking at a new mod for Enemy Territory. So it's just one of these other things that we do. I maintain that it's running in a box in London to get everyone as best speeds as we can, as opposed to just running in anywhere.
Cool. I mean,
we generally just divvy things up between ourselves as we see fit. You know, someone says, well, I'm going to do this because this will work, right? Okay, you know how to do that. I'll do the wiki because I like doing wikis. All right, you can do wikis. We don't like wikis, and so on and so forth.
Yeah. Wicked. Two small questions then. The first one is, if it's all the stuff that we can't be asked to do, what's next on the list of stuff that we can't be asked to do that you're going to provide?
You evil git. Well, as I say, we just started doing the torrents. And the way we're doing that is we've hooked it into the custom script that we use, that I wrote a bash script to do mirroring for My Mirror.
Hooray! Which you're about to release, aren't you?
I did release it, and then my CVS server died. People can't get the source, so...
And you're the sysadmin?
Yeah, I know, tell me about it.
That's right, give him a bollock.
Sorry, I mean, brilliant job you do for the community.
Yeah, arsing up servers for fun and profit. But yeah, that mirror script is... I hacked that to pieces to handle multiple mirrors, so I actually update my mirror and Mr. Ben's with one script, and now we've updated it to include the torrent, so it automatically generates the .torrent file.
Excellent.
There's some script food going on there.
Does it seed them as well?
BT magic in the background. So that's one of the things we've done. We've got a couple more mirrors that we're planning to bring online in the next couple of weeks, so
we'll be
running four Lug Radio mirrors globally. Two of them,
awesome.
I think, no, sorry, three of them in the States, one of them in Europe.
Stunning.
And anything else that comes along, if anyone in the community's got any ideas of things they'd like to see, services that could be useful to everyone else, that we, the sysadmins, could implement for everyone else, then, you know, feel free to drop an email or let Harshland Radio know as well, because we do stuff too.
Yeah, that's what we like.
Excellent, cool. I mean, and the other question is... since you are part of the community, I'm aware I've not heard of the Lug Radio community, but you have. speaking as Deputy Lug Radio Community Hero, hey, which you are, for another 3 months or so at least, what should we be doing as part of the community? This is us, the Lug Radio team.
Aid should go on the forums.
I only really said this to give an opportunity for you to give Aid a bollock, you know.
Absolutely. That man's not been on IRC a day in his life, I think.
Oh, I did once at Guadalupe.
I don't know. I think what you guys do by organising Lug Radio Live, that's a huge, huge undertaking.
It is for me and John,
quite a lot of your time during the year. And, the rest of us, everything else just seems to tick over at the moment, so I'm not really sure. Three or four of you pop up in IRC and on the forums.
The cool three.
I suppose that's good enough. <isn't it? laughs> 75% hit rate. 75% hit rate of people to slag. But as I say, something I forgot to mention is the planet as well. So, I mean, obviously we get to see what you guys are up to via the planet, as well as other people in the community. If anyone else has a blog and wants to go on the planet, they can let us know.
They can get in touch. Okay. Then you get another opportunity to read Jono's words of wisdom.
Now, obviously, the ninjas is more than yourself. So, name check all the other ninjas.
God, if he misses one, this other day, and I think there's a couple of people I'm missing. But the sort of core elite set of ninjas is myself, Zaliar, Mr. Ben, Esk. Trig, who runs the forums. That's pretty much the core set of people who help out. Obviously, we get some assistance from other people in on occasion, but that's pretty much the core set of people who do stuff on a day-to-day basis. And I mean, it's not just doing stuff. I mean, we just worked this out. In the last sort of 12 months, we've managed to spunk about £1,300
hosting
and bandwidth just to support mirrors and wikis and infrastructure and torrents. I've no idea what it's costing Trig for the forums, if anything. The game server as well, obviously that spunks a little bit of bandwidth every week. So it's a fair amount of work to do, but we're quite happy to do it, and we quite enjoy what we're doing. So, and again, it's giving something back to the community, so we feel like we are actually doing something for everyone else. It's not just for the sake of doing it.
It's really cool. I mean, it's kind of like... it's nice that the community's kind of built up around the show, and it's really cool that the load is spread out between, you know, obviously everybody. You know, you guys are running, you know, most of the services there, and,
oh, totally, yeah.
And we're running bits and pieces, and then there's obviously people in the on the forums and people in the IRC channel, things like that.
A big thank you to the ninjas.
Yeah, a big thank you to all of you guys, because you're doing an incredible job.
Fantastic and, job.
So, yeah, so where do you sort of see the future of the community going? I mean,
do you need more ninjas?
The future of ninja.
Yeah, where do you see the ninjas growing, and where do you see the community growing? I mean, are you quite happy with the community right now? Would you like to see bits of it improved? You know, where can you see the future?
The community now, as I say, it seems to be ticking over. I know we had things like the InfoPoint project kind of grew out of the community, and I think it would be interesting to see what other real world things could be done by the community just for everyone else. It doesn't necessarily need to be advocacy.
Yeah.
But I'm sure there's ways that the community could interact with the sort of greater world of free and open source people.
Yeah.
To see what they can do for everyone else, because part of the reason that we as the ninjas do what we do is we've got certain skill sets that we can use those skills to do things for everyone else. If anyone else feels they've got skills, I mean, I don't mean to keep turning it back onto the community to do stuff, but I think that's the way it should happen. Is everyone else has got their own skills that they can apply for certain things. It doesn't necessarily need to be doing sysadmin work or knowing how to record podcasts. I mean, this is something that applies to Linux distros as well. It's just there's always something someone can do. You don't have to be a coder to do something cool for open source. I don't think you need to be an almighty geek to be able to do something for Lug Radio. There's always something someone can do.
Exactly, yeah.
And like I say, the InfoPoint was great because it kind of grew out. People could run up posters, people could sit in a stand and talk and espouse great things about open source and free software.
That's what we like.
Even though they didn't necessarily know how to code it or build their own distro themselves. And I think that's something that's going to hopefully increase over the next 12 months. I think Lug Radio Live, again, the Lug Radio Live seems to be a kind of catalyst for things to happen. A lot of things grow out of Lug Radio Live. It's a great chance for people to meet up. It's always a good chance for us ninjas to get together and have a few beers, because they are fairly distributed, but it's a good chance for everyone to get together and say, look, what could we do? What things can happen? And things tend to peak after Lug Radio Live and things, so we can try and keep that level of interest and level of community involvement going after Lug Radio Live all the way through to the next one. I think that would be fantastic.
Definitely. So after they've met you in your first life, they could actually meet you. Where can they meet you elsewhere?
Could they meet me in second life, perhaps? I'm in limbo right now. I'm waiting for a start date from Linden Labs. So
you're working for Linden Labs?
I'm working for Linden Lab.
You jousy bastard. I mean, well done, congratulations.
Thank you very much. Well, you see, I got in touch with Canonical and they said, piss off, you jock. I thought, I'll speak to someone in America then, they'll know something. They won't care if I'm Scottish or not, they'll love me.
See, bloody Schwack's got a job with them.
Well, who's that? What?
Schwack's got a job with him, the bastard.
Who?
With Canonical?
Schwack.
What, with Linden Lab?
No, with Canonical you are.
I was going to say,
you love it. Yeah, I knew about that. He kept it kind of stoom for a while.
I
was actually told someone in the Lug Radio community will get a job with Canonical, but not who. And I was, oh, right, okay, thank you.
Useful, okay.
Said, I've got a job with Canonical, and I have you.
One very brief question before Jono wraps it up. There's been a certain amount of discussion over the last couple of days about the Lug Radio license and whether we should allow derivatives and commercial stuff and things like that. What's your opinion? We're looking for a 10-second soundbite here, not 15 minutes of exposition on the nature of freedom.
We did the same as you guys when we did Hashlog Radio. We put out a non-derived license. And to me, it's like, what's the huge deal? Having source files for a podcast, to me, is just a bit over the top.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if you're going to edit things from a podcast, you can end up turning and saying, I've just spliced a new version of Lug Radio together, and it's the exact same as the last 30 seconds of your last episode, with somebody saying, yeah, it's Mark Shuttleworth takes it up the bum. It's not really the sort of spirit of the license. Music, yeah, fantastic. If you can take someone's drum samples and guitar loops and whatever, make your own music out of it or mash it up, great. But a podcast, I don't think it really lends itself to that sort of environment, so...
Yeah.
To me, having an underage license is not really a huge issue. It's Creative Commons, open source software licenses don't apply to audio, in my opinion. So no great shakes. But I can understand why some people get a bit wound up about it.
So you mentioned Hashlug Radio. Hashlug Radio is obviously a podcast that you guys do about Lug Radio.
And other things.
So where can people find Hashlug Radio?
I do believe if they go to the interwebs, if they go to planet.lugradio.org/lugradio, they can download our latest episodes. They can subscribe to our RSS feeds. They can send us emails to hashlugradio@planet.lugradio.org, and they can call our voicemail. I don't have the number.
It's all of all of those hashes are H A S.
Yeah, H A.
H A H, not the little pound sign.
Yeah, not the drug.
Not a pound sign.
Not a pound sign. It's a noughts and crosses ball.
It's a hash sign. And it's interesting because there's this kind of like banter that goes on between Lugradio and Hashlugradio. It's quite interesting to get kind of someone from Hashlug Radio on the show. It's kind of interesting.
You've been mentioned like twice in the last 2 years.
Well, check it out. We invited you on the show. And admittedly, you've invited me on the show. On Hashlug Radio. And the other guys and everything. So.
I'd counter point to you guys so that there's a bit of a forum for the community in the same format that you guys have.
Mm.
So that's why we constantly say to people, if you get any ideas that you want to talk about on the show, or if you want to come on the show and talk about things that the large gents have talked about, feel free. And that's why we constantly try and get people from the community on the show as guest presenters to talk about stuff.
And are you going to be recording something for Hashlug Radio, Lug Radio Live?
We've got some plans afoot. Both Zalia and I have decided we're taking the year off. We're not going to crew. We're not going to do box shifting or chasing people around. But we've got some ideas of just kind of maybe doing some in sort of situ editing, in situ recordings, and just seeing what we can get out of it and have some sort of show.
Yeah,
obviously the same way you guys are going to do a show, but we'll generate some sort of content so we can spit something out within a couple of weeks afterwards, hopefully, and so we can get the alternative side of the event as well, in the same way that we try and get the alternative side of the podcast.
I think it'd be interesting because in the same way that like when we go to Guadec and we do a show about Guadec, it'd be cool to have the Hashlug Radio team doing something about Lug Radio Live, you know.
Totally. If you guys want to sponsor us to go to Guadec, that's all good.
So cool, just before we wrap up, are you going to get some special ninjas t-shirts printed for Lug Radio Live? That'd be pretty cool.
Isn't that
we're playing with it, actually. We're playing with it. If we can get some sort of ninja balaclava things as well.
Maybe you should
you should be dressed up as ninjas.
You should ask a ninja.
Yeah, Lug Radio ninjas, we will sit them in your service.
Yeah, ask a ninja, that's not a bad idea.
We should set up Lug Radio Pods.
Where did they come from?
Nice, well thanks so much for coming on the show, Nero. And thanks
to all the ninjas for your effort.
Yeah, thanks to all the ninjas, because you guys are just incredible.
Thanks to all the ninjas. All of us deserve just as much adoration as you're giving me right now.
Yeah.
which is not much adoration. So, I mean, don't go overboard.
Definitely an effort, has to be said.
No, credit where credit's due. You guys do an incredible job. So
now nice get back to those bagpipes.
Get back to fucking work.
Yeah, fuck you. Get out of those bagpipes, you bastard.
Excellent, and we'll see you soon.
We'll see you in July. Oh, I'm a bike!
See you later!
Put him down!
See you later, Nero.
See you later, Nero.
Cheers, man.
Bye. Safe.
The interview about the podcast about the podcast.
End of the show, so time for some trampolining.
End it.
What? Oh, okay, we'll do the emails.
Trampolini sounds funny.
Yeah, we'll do it later.
Randomness from the bell show.
Boing, boing, boing.
Could he get off the trampoline? Mang has emailed us.
Mang?
Yeah,
Mang.
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 Otherwise known as his loyal listener, Joe. His email has got Mang in it. Anyway,
right.
Hello, Lug Radio. I love the show, and I've been an eager listener for many years. As a FOSS admin stroke user and advocate for nearly 15 years, I really enjoyed your insight and often comedic interpretation of the events in the FOSS world. Usually, you guys are right on target.
Listening to a different show, obviously.
You feel the pending boots coming.
You've got to love, usually your guys are on target. The boot descends towards the bollocks.
What's that great big shadow there? Could it be a big boot?
Listen.
My knack is await.
So, usually, you guys are right on target with your analysis, but from time to time, you meander into never, never land. Last month's episode was just one such instance. Your discussion...
Before we go on, between the three of us who haven't read the email, so that's Chris and me and Jono, a little book on who was wrong. was it all of us?
Is that option one?
I don't think it was Chris. Right. Bacon, so was it you or I? It might have been Matt. You never know.
Is it all of you?
It could be all of us or one of us.
I think it was all of us.
I think it was Yao. So let's...
Have you read the email?
No, I haven't, honestly.
Honestly?
Honestly.
Honestly?
Well, I have read it, presumably, but I don't remember anything about it.
Honestly, on your sweet, sweet daughter's life?
Honestly, on my sweet, sweet daughter's life.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Mm-hmm. You still could be lying, to be honest.
She's like six or something. She's seven, thank you.
Anyway, moving
on. We'll have less about my daughter, thank you very much. Moving on.
Hey, take last your blue suit episode. Off.
It's blue suit. Last month's episode was just one such instance. Your discussion... and mockery of the BSD.
Oh. It was all of us, all of us. Jono.
We're quite off target and misinformed.
Never.
Were Linux developed in a vacuum, your analysis might be on target, but this is not the case. Linux stroke BSD share a common heritage and core daemons. Despite the common misinformed conception.
Sorry.
Despite the common misinformed conception that there are no desktop BSDs, there actually are. Currently, there are two projects to show great promise on a desktop front, desktop BSD and PC-BSD.
I run OpenBSD on my desktop, but you know.
That's because you're a server guy.
And a GIMP as well.
You're an Uber GIMP.
GIMP doesn't run on it.
You've got Emacs as your login shell. You have no opinion in
this. I used to have Emacs. Not anymore.
Used to, as in you turned
up
yesterday.
Of course, there are the venerable FreeBSD, OpenBSD and NetBSD.
Hey.
As a FOSS advocate and admin...
Is there Care BSD as well?
What about Beard and Board BSD as well? How
as about moving a FOSS on BSD? Advocate stroke admin, I see way too much misinformed FUD between distros and OSs, and this stuff has to be laid to rest.
Yep.
Linux stroke, Unix stroke, BSD worlds should not clash, they should work together, they've got common goals
Indeed.
And visions... below are two exemplary examples of BSDs, desktop BSDs. So that's www.pcbsd.org and www.desktopbsd.net. Keep up the great work. Keep up the great show. You guys rule.
Dude makes
your
a valid point.
Loyal yeah. listener
he,
show.
He does make a valid point. I have indeed just...
BSD's got some cool technologies, man.
I spent an hour filling in the form on the Sun site so I could get a copy of Open Solaris on CD, which we sent to be
is Open Solaris BSD? Is in no way BSD.
I was going to say.
No, the point is I'm exploring additional...
I can install Windows the other day as well.
I'm exploring additional free Unix technologies. Presumably that bloke hasn't tried Open Solaris either.
So we can shut up. Solaris does have BSD roots.
No, well, okay.
As does Mac OS.
As does Mac OS X. What
does it colour its hair?
No, in the sense that the people who set up Sun came from
the BSD world. Oh,
and yes. We should clarify that we do sometimes...
We should talk about BSD more, actually, because it's got some cool technology.
We do sometimes ignore BSD, but the reason for that is just because we don't use it. We're all Linux.
Maybe we should open our minds.
What cool technology has BSD got that Linux hasn't got?
Things like memory randomization and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's well cool. As cool as the Sun.
Yeah.
It is from a security point of view. It's very cool.
Can you increase the number of ref counts with that?
You don't know that. That's just a meaningless sentence.
So anyway,
moving on in a counter
bacon
direction.
All right, okay.
Next, we're going in order.
Okay, a quick one before I get into my main one. Just from
thanks, Joe.
Just from Roger Light.
Sorry,
it's like a one cal version of Roger.
It's a lot better than Roger Heavy, believe me.
I'm just wondering if his wife gets the full pro version.
She does, but she has to pay $25.99 a year to renew her license.
Dear show, I'm writing to complain about the Radio Live
unlock
schedule.
His penis with a key code.
Unless he gets a penis cracker.
Oh, can you imagine that?
Presumably, I don't want to. Move on.
It could be like something that cracks a penis or like some kind of cracker made from a penis that you eat.
I always imagine it was like, you know, a cream cracker except slightly more
Where
chewy.
Would you put that little thin bit of cardboard with the explosive bit on? Where would you put that?
That's a horrible cracker.
Oh, no.
I never want to get the toy from that. Or put the hat on. This show, I'm writing to complain.
I bet the joke could be pretty funny, though.
Let's step away from the penis joke. I'm writing to complain about the Lug Radio Live schedule. How on earth
are you complaining?
How on earth do you expect us to be able to choose between so many good things?
True. Pause.
Ack, where could we find such a schedule?
It's been released.
It has been released. We have released the schedule as promised and on time and under budget. At Lug Radio,
we're doing more with less.
We are doing more with less and leveraging our synergies for maximum business penetration.
In a vertical market.
Yeah, in the community. So, lugradio.org/live will take you to the Lug Radio Live site. From there you can get to the schedule, you can get to the list of speakers. We will soon have a list of
Is
bots.
That also known as a schedule?
Yes.
Right. Okay.
Yes, it is.
For our American friends. We actually said we were going to announce the speakers on this in this session, so we'll bang on with the emails, and I'll read out some speakers.
We'll quickly
bang through them because it's a very good lineup. So more on that later. But before I want to read that. That's a very short one, so I want to get into my main email.
Oh, cheeky.
Cheeky. We've had an email from Erin Gens, and the subject is Plone and the Girlfriend. Hi, my name is Erin.
I've often thought cloning your girlfriend would be a good idea.
Is that like Hootie and the Blowfish?
Anyway. Hi, my name is Erin. I've been listening to your show for about a year
or
so.
Erin.
I do not deny that the only reason I listen to your show is that my boyfriend listens to it, and I found that I enjoy your humour. The phrase, because every time I fuck your mum, she gives me a biscuit, was a classic.
Super duper. Thank you very much.
Episode 4 of the most recent season was especially humorous to my boyfriend, Robert. Nice how she has to specify his name, just, you know.
Well, she may have more
than one boyfriend. Boyfriend Robert, as opposed to my boyfriend Pete or my boyfriend Al.
That's right. You send an email to Lug Radio and we insinuate that you're a bit of a, you know, bike.
We are in no way. Jono's views do not represent the views of Lug Radio.
I never said she was a bike. You said. I just said she might have more than one boyfriend. I'm hoping she's laughing at this.
Jono, keep going.
Oh.
Dig, 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 dig,
I, as in her, she's a physicist, obviously not me. I'm a physicist.
Hang on a minute, a girl physicist. What are the chances of that?
Don't start.
Age, shut up.
Age views don't represent the views of humanity. I'm a physicist, not a programmer, and I've been struggling with Plone for the past month at work, so when you guys mentioned Plone on the show, I spontaneously yelled, "Fuck Plone!"
I agree.
I don't really hate Plone, but a month of fighting with something will make anyone a little cranky.
Give up, it's shit.
Robert just laughed at me. I think he was both amused and proud that I actually knew what something open source was.
Yay.
Anyways, as a non-Linux person who only recently came to the light, I must say that I find a lot of your show very informative and helpful. Keep up the wonderful work, and I know that you have a convert, except when I play my Roller Coaster Tycoon or Lego Star Wars.
That doesn't work.
Start waits for argument about playing games on Linux. Start again. Sincerely, Aaron from Colorado Springs in the US of A. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Aaron. Next time Robert takes a piss out of you, ask him how much he knows about Schrodinger's wave equations. email from Christian Gross. I don't know if it's Christian Gross or Christian Gross.
Is he massive or disgusting? Or both?
Maybe he's a gross Christian. I don't know.
I think he's a massive, disgusting bastard. Right.
Christian Gross says, I was listening to your last week's podcast and I appreciated the comment. I wish there could be a glossy marketing campaign so my dad can understand free software.
Who made that wise comment? Who made that? That was me.
Really?
Yes.
I told the biscuit.
I'm disappointed
joke.
In you.
When I heard the debate on semantics of FSF and GNU, I thought FSF and GNU is missing the point completely. I wish that FSF and GNU would adopt an Ubuntu approach and get things done. For example, organisations like Ubuntu, JBoss, Red Hat, KDE, GNOME and Apache are doing things and not getting bogged down with important semantics. I think... What do you mean, I'm in no way representative of the Free Software Foundation.
Yes, you are, Mr. Zed Ellert.
I ought to point out two things here.
Zachary
Ellert. First of all, sharing their views doesn't make me part of their organisation. And secondly, I've released a lot more software in the open source community than Yao, so shut up.
That's it, beat me up because I'm not a programmer.
That's right. What else have you done?
I've released my wiki, remember?
Oh, you have, yeah. After 6 months of hustle about it.
Did I release it?
Christian says, I think a valid question is, when was the last time Aid really added value? Oh, sorry, the FSF and GNU really added value. It's nice to debate about the merits of a license, but sometimes you actually have to produce something other than paper, which is
wise points.
A view broadly shared with Lug Radio, to be quite
wise
honest.
Wise points. The guy speaks
wise,
wisdom.
Wise indeed. What? Christian Gross, you speak the wisdom. Thank you very much.
Just at this point, can I clarify that the bonus Matt Lee interview at the end of the show last week. I just want to clarify that was fully Matt was fully complicit in that.
Done entirely with Matt's knowledge. We didn't really stitch him out.
Matt was actually sat in the studio with us when we recorded that, and we actually got him to record all the words and then we put them together. So thanks to Matt for being such a good sport.
He was.
And some people actually thought it was real.
Yep, absolutely.
We would do anything like that.
If you're interested in giving a job to a webmaster who used to work on GNU.org, then his email address...
His email address is beard@lugradio.org.
We'll work for food.
Okay, I've got an email from Chris Hayes, who...
he's created the manuals?
No, modems.
Modem.
He is indeed heir to the modem fortune.
Heir
to the modem fortune. Yeah, he's talking about art anyway.
Art. They always took art.
Well, he starts off by saying, I'm planning on depicting the ideals and concepts that combine together within the open source / free software movement as part of my A-level art course.
Fucking hippie.
My God,
which I'm kind of...
That's
I'd
wicked.
Like to see, basically.
That sounds a fascinating project.
Send it in.
He's going to express the motives of the open source community through the medium of dance.
will his art be GPL or Creative Commons?
You know, he doesn't actually say.
Ah.
I think we should challenge him on that. So, yes, GPL it. And,
it's going to be shareware.
Harsh. No,
send us in a copy or a photo or,
yeah.
or you know, whatever.
I'd love to see some of that.
It does actually sound quite interesting. I'd love to see it. Yeah.
I am intrigued, genuinely intrigued by that.
I wonder how we could see more of that.
Well...
Maybe anyway, he could write in next week and tell us how we can see more.
He should, yes. But he goes on. Anyway, he goes on.
Oh, he doesn't,
He's talking about... basically, he's obviously an artist and wants to contribute artwork to free software and open source. And he's talking about whether we'd be able to do a BOF, or he'd be able to do a BOF
yes.
at Lug Radio Live.
He certainly would.
Contribution and art.
He definitely will do that. That'd be an interesting BOF, definitely.
Yes, indeed.
Indeed. As someone who fails GCSE art really rather badly, I'd be quite interested in that.
Excellent. So. Did you do GCSE art because the good-looking girls were doing GCSE art? A lot of people at my school did art.
Yes.
A-level art, when you could choose whether you do it. Because,
oh, they wouldn't let me do
because
A-level
of girls.
Art, but GCSE, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
So
I would have done A-level art, but I did some proper A-levels. No, sorry, Chris Hayes.
Proper A-levels, do you mean applied maths?
And pure maths.
Pure maths.
Yeah,
and
proper,
and physics and chemistry.
Oh, that's what I did.
And information technology.
Anyway, I have one more email, if you'll permit me to read it.
Please, go ahead.
Beyond the Red Line has been sent in by Aaron Newcomb. He says, greetings, Chinny Raccoons.
Nice.
On the last episode, you were talking about video games running on Linux. I'm not sure if you are fans of Battlestar Galactica.
Oh, yes, the new one, yeah.
What?
Is that the thing with the Cylons?
Yes.
Yeah.
Fucking stupid.
Isn't that like one of those new Dyson vacuum cleaners?
No. What?
No, that's Dyson.
Oh, I thought they brought something out. Anyway,
ball is so out of date.
Cyclones,
maybe.
that's a pylon.
Anyway, if you do watch Battlestar Galactica,
do you remember those at school? One
pylons.
Person falls over and you go, pylon.
A bundle.
That was a bundle.
No, it's a pylon.
It was also called a pylon before the war.
I had to explain to someone the other day what the bumps was.
Yeah, I did. American person.
Did they have meningitis?
Anyway, read the email, Johnny.
It's when you hit puberty. But if you do watch Battlestar Galactica, you should check out Beyond the Red Line. Beyond the Red Line is a space combat simulation built on the open source Free Space 2 engine.
Wicked.
And based on the Battlestar Galactica TV series. The game hasn't been officially released yet, but there are demos for Linux, Mac OS X, and even Windows.
Cool.
Do a search in YouTube to see the game in action, or go to www.game-warden.com/bsg/.
Well, that's just phenomenal.
So, P.S. Sorry, Ack. OpenGL is required.
I won't be playing that, then.
Let's go through the speakers list.
Cool.
Talk while I bring it up.
Yeah, no, very, very quickly. We don't want to necessarily read out all of the speakers. You can find
because you can read that yourself on the web.
You can. You can go
I've
to
so many fine speakers.
You can go to lugradio.org/live, which will take you to the Lug Radio Live 2007 website, and from there you can get to the speakers list. We've got a list of all the people who are speaking. We will soon have a list of all
the
bosses.
Not just a list of some of the people.
Right.
We have a list of all of them. We will soon have a list of all the... We will have all the pictures as well.
There's a lot of Chinny Raccoons on there.
At the moment, if we haven't found a picture for you yet, then you've got a picture of a Chinny Raccoon instead, which is
right.
basically
I'm
everybody.
I'm going to spend 10 seconds and I'm going to bang through this list of
Take
names. And I'm not going to say anything
breath.
About each of these people, yep. So you'll have to Google them if you know.
Google!
All right, so we've got Nat Ravel. Nat Ravel? Nat Ravel? It's like Matt with 80s hair.
What?
So, we've got Nat Freeman, Simon Willison, Matthew Garrett, Jervis Markham, Ted Hager, Michael Sparks from the BBC, Chris DeBona from Google, Thomas van der Steel, Thomas van der Schnitzel, Rob McQueen from Collabra and Telepathy, we've got Aaron Seiger from KDE, Becky Hogg from the Open Rights Group, Daniel James who from 64 Studio, Ben Lamb from KDE, Des Burley from Mills and Reeve, John Alfred Nottenbelt from Introversion Games, Scott James Three-Shot Remnant from Canonical, Malcolm Yates from Canonical, whatever the fuck that is.
Sylvester Farkas from Gelma Vernewage.
Gelma.
I'm not sure how you pronounce Vernewage. I'm sure it's not fucking Vernewage, though.
Laszlo Pandy from Jacosha, Bruno Board from the community.
Bruno!
Carl Latimer from Liverpool. Prison.
Where he was convicted of stealing hubcaps.
From Wyndot. What kind of bastard steals hubcaps? Christian Schaller from Fluento. Kat Goodwin from Pale Purple. John Leach from Everybody Loves Eric Raymond. Barbie from the Birmingham Pearlmongers. Dave Neary from the Gnome Project. From Adult Pig Finder.com.
Anyway, moving on. Joe Bond from Neuros Audio.
Gareth Qualley talking about open source graphic stuff. Michael Sheldon from the Sabre GL thingy. Andy Davidson, who's talking about server hardware. Pablo Ruiz from
Muskviz, I think, or something. I'm not really sure how to pronounce it.
Michael Barker will be talking about Meldware, and Philip Coombs is going to be talking about domestic security and open source software. So that's the big list so far.
Yep.
Well, that's our list of speakers. The schedule's on the site as well. So
yep, the schedule is now frozen. If you were thinking, oh, I must get around to sending in Talk for Lug Radio Live, you have missed the boat.
I'd also like to announce that Alan Cox, legendary Colonel Hacker, is going to be there doing a BOF session and a focused discussion session. And we're going to have two people from Microsoft, Steve Lamb, who was there last year, he's going to be there. And we're going to have I can't remember his name, but a chap from Munich, not the film, from Microsoft, he's going to be there as well. The two of them are going to be there. They've both confirmed.
Excellent.
It's all looking good.
It is all looking good. Those of you who don't know yet, it's the 7th and 8th of July 2007. The hotels in Wolverhampton are starting to fill up now, so you might want to get on and have a look at that.
There's popular metropolis that is known as Wolverhampton.
Yep, there are details about nearby hotels on the Lug Radio Life website.
So, let's wrap it up.
Let's wrap up the show for another week.
Nice short one this week.
Thanks, Chris.
Thank you very much for coming.
It is a short show, incidentally.
And thanks to MJ Ray for the advice.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you, Mudge.
Mudray. So, we're going to try and keep the shows a bit shorter. So we're not as short as we'd like to have been this time, but we had more interviews than we expected. So, you know, we don't want to slacken the content.
No.
Okay.
And send your comments in about what you think about the show. We do genuinely want to hear about what you think. So, and thanks, Chris. You've been fantastic guest.
You have our legendary joint head of crew for Lug Radio Live, along with Dave Morley.
He is the Lord of the Rings.
He is the Lord of the
Rings. The Proctologist.
Yeah.
Proctor. Cool. See you later.
Bye.
See you later.
Bye.